Open your Bible to Old Testament minor prophet Hosea, if you will. If you got a Bible like mine, it's on page 923, all right? Hosea chapter 4, if you would. We're going to have to change things up. I noticed when we announced the offering and invited people to come, some went out the door of the auditorium. So what we're going to have to do is start putting a surcharge on you if you do that, all right? Just going to have to... Got to work with you there, all right? But all right, Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, if you will. And we'll read a verse here and then use that as text and for our thought for the message tonight. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible said, a prophet of God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. There shall be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forsaken or forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." I want you to notice especially kind of about the first half of that verse. Well, the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and they have rejected knowledge." Rejected knowledge. Schools are starting up, you know. I used to think we started early. As a matter of fact, I remember years ago, I would tell people, and they'd say, "When are you starting?" I said, "We'll start in the middle of August." Oh, wow. We would even have people call towards the end of August about wanting to enroll their child in school. And they said, "When do you start?" I said, "Well, last week." But nowadays, you know, their school started last week. The school started this week. And I think most of them starting up next week. We're starting on Monday. I suppose it's appropriate. I want to talk to you tonight about being wise about instruction and learning. Now, look out across here, and all of you say, "Bless God, not me. I ain't going back to school." All right? Except Sarah back there. She is. All right? But I think about it, it's pretty hard to have knowledge without instruction and learning. But I'll tell you this. I really believe this. I believe when you quit learning, you quit living. I believe when you quit learning, you quit living. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about you got to go enroll in school or in college or that kind of thing. And I know people say, "Hey, you can't teach an old dog new tricks." Well, you can't if the old dog's not teachable. All right, if the old dog's not teachable. But being teachable is a choice. That's a choice you can make, all right? Much is said about learning disabilities, and they are real. As students and children, people have learning disabilities. But I tell you this, I believe the biggest learning disability and the hardest one to overcome is that combination of unconcern and don't want to. Don't want to. Through the years of our school, I've had a lot of kids with that learning disability. Don't want to, all right? Wasn't that they couldn't do it. Wasn't that they had any real disability. It was just, "I don't want to learn." And you continually get that question, "Why do I have to know this? Why do I have to know that? You know, why is it important that I can go through this sentence and say that's the verb and it's an action verb and that's the subject and there's the direct object and there's the indirect object and that word and that word and that word, those are objects of prepositions and those are the prepositions." And you said, what difference is that? Why do I have to learn that? Over the years, I've developed a pat answer. So you can graduate from high school, all right? It's just that simple. That's why you need to learn it, all right? And they say, "Well, I'll never use it." Well, you may not. But I can't begin to tell you how many kids, and they were kids when they came through school, but they later came back, they weren't kids anymore, and they said, "You know, preacher, that stuff I thought I wasn't going to use, I'm using." My favorite one is Brother Charles and Brother Doug's brother, Donald. And a man, he argued with me about stuff and math. And then I remember just as a few years down the road, he called me up. He said, "You know what? I'm using that geometry I never thought I'd use." And he was a truck driver, okay? So I'm just telling you, and you never know, all right? It's important, and it's important that we learn. And look, the Bible, God's Word, places a premium that God wants us to be wise. God wants us to be wise. You read through the book of Proverbs, you read through the book of Ecclesiastes. Those are wisdom books. God wants us to have some wisdom. But the trouble is, it's hard to impart wisdom and instruction to a fool, all right? The fool is the guy that thinks, I don't have any need to learn anything, so I don't need what you're doing. But hey, you do, all right? You do need it. And the only way you get it, you just need to be teachable, all right? Need to be teachable. And by the way, I think the biggest part of learning doesn't occur in the classroom. Doesn't occur in the classroom. It occurs outside there. And God wants us to teach us some things. But sometimes the instruction we need comes from other sources. We need to be teachable. So let me just give you a few things tonight about being wise about instruction. Go with me, if we will, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I want you to look at a verse here, verse 15. There is a phrase in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 15, there's some words here that if you go through your Bible, they're found here, and they're found seven other times in the Bible. Seven other times. You said, what is it? Well, verse 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, you need to pay attention to instruction. You need to pay attention to instruction. I'm not going to ask you how many of you had somebody instructing you or telling you and you didn't listen. Now, not necessarily in school, wherever, all right? Could have been on the job. Somebody's giving you things and you're not listening. I've been listening to people and I found myself not listening. You let things slip there. Hey, the Bible said if you got ears to hear, then hear. Hear. God put them on the side of your head for a reason, all right? Then go back with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. You need to pay attention to instruction. Proverbs chapter 8. Look down, if you will, in verse 33. Proverbs 8, verse 33. The Bible says this, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Hey, listen, pay attention to instruction. The first thing, simply, learn to listen. Learn to listen. Can I encourage you in your life, just listen? Just listen. I've learned things out and about just by sitting and listening. Just listening. Not necessarily in a situation where it was, shall we say, formal instruction, but you listen. Listen. I've said it many times. I believe it. God gave you two ears and one mouth. So you definitely ought to listen twice as much as you talk. You say, preacher, you make your living talking. I understand that, all right? But I have to learn to listen, okay? And learn to listen, learn to tune in, learn to hear. Hey, when you come to church, learn to listen. Learn to listen. Sometimes you make yourself listen. Now, I don't know where you say, well, you know, it just got dull and I found myself wondering. Well, make yourself listen. Just force yourself to do it, if have to. But learn to tune in to what's going on. Our problem is, and I believe this beyond a shadow of doubt, we listen if we think it's important. We listen if we think it's important. All right? If we get tuned into it and we really think it's important, then we listen. All right? I'll give you this illustration. If somebody promised, if I promised, it wouldn't be me, I wouldn't do it. But if somebody promised he was going to tell you how to make $1 million tomorrow, and he said, you come, I'm going to have $1 million that I've made with my... with what I'm going to tell you, you can pack a building out. Pack a building out. Just, you know, I'm going to help you and make you $1 million. People would show up, all right? Because we think money is super important, all right? Now, here's the sad part. To me, sadly, many people don't think church is very important. And they don't come because they really don't think it's that important. They look at it and think, hey, it's not that important, so they don't show up. They're not much concerned with their Christian testimony. Not much concerned with your Christian testimony. With them, serving the Lord is not a priority. It's something that I'll do okay if I have time. If it's convenient, I'll do that, all right? But it's not really important. Same way, their walk with God's not really cause for concern to them. It's just not there. Hey, can I say this? Those people struggle to listen to God's word. Say, why? Not important. Not important. But we listen if we think it's important. We pay attention if we think it's important. I could use the illustration, kids at school, they may not listen when you're talking about factoring a quadratic equation in algebra. But they'll listen if you're talking about going on a field trip. What? Oh, yeah, I'm paying attention. Now, why? Well, they don't think it's important. They don't think it's important. The sad thing is that many people come to church that way, and they really just they don't think it's important. Now, I hope you're not like that, all right? I hope you're here and you're saying, I'm listening, I'm focusing in, because this is important to me. Look, I hope you look at this deal that you want to walk with God, and you're concerned about it, so you come and you'll listen, you'll pay attention. Hey, pay attention to instruction. Pay attention to instruction. But go past that. Get it. Get instruction. Look in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, look in verse 13, all right? Bible says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Now, don't lose your place there, but go over to Proverbs 23. Go to Proverbs chapter 23, would you? Proverbs 23, verse 23. The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Understand. Buy the truth. Hey, we ought to work at getting instruction. Not just maybe listen when it there, but work at getting it. That verse there in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, hold fast, all right? Take fast hold of instruction. To take fast hold basically means get a good grip and don't turn loose. Just don't turn loose of it. Don't let go. How much do we forget of instruction that's given? Because we don't have that attitude, I'm going to grab a hold, I'm going to hang on to it, all right? I'm going to get it. That learning, getting instruction, it's a lifelong endeavor. Lifelong endeavor. Look, me, you, nobody else. We're never going to know it all. Especially, and honestly, yes, I'm more so than anything else, I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about spiritual things, spiritual truths. Nobody will ever grasp it all. But we ought to spend a lifetime pursuing it. Pursuing that knowledge, pursuing that wisdom, pursuing that instruction. Why? I want to have it. I want to know it. I'll honestly admit to you as an individual, I don't understand people that don't want to know anything. Just content to be ignorant. We have trouble and have had several occasions where the electric bills for the church and school, we mail them, we get the bill, fill them out, pay the bill, maybe mail it the very next day. But then we get a report that, hey, your bill's late, it didn't come, we're going to cut it off. We're going to cut your electricity off. And, by the way, we mail them in the same envelope. And on occasion, one of them will be submitted one day, and the other one will be submitted the next day. I don't know how you do that when they're in the same envelope, okay? I think both of them got there at the same time, you know? That's like saying, well, I want to fly first class so I can get there ahead of the guys in coach. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to beat them. They're going to get there at the same time, all right? And I was talking to my wife today about that situation. I said, we're in a sorry mess because people have gotten so unconcerned about taking care of what they should take care of, doing a good job, and pursuing things because we got so many people are content. I don't want to know anything. I just want a paycheck. I just want a paycheck. I want somebody to support me, and I want the finances. Look, I believe with all my heart, you and I ought to have a desire to know everything we can, all right? You never know what you're going to use. You never know what you're going to need. Hey, by the way, you never know what you're going to need out of the Word of God. Earlier this week, maybe it was Saturday, Friday of last week, I'm not sure. I was driving back on Denton Highway, crossed over Loop 820, and I noticed something, activity going on in the middle of the road there. When I got up close enough, I saw a guy, motorcycle laying over, and a man laying on the road, and people there kind of working with him. Well, yesterday I went to the chiropractor and got to talking. The fellow was in there talking. Come to find out, he was the guy on the motorcycle. He was the guy laying in the road. You know, he was the fellow that was there, all right? And he was there. You ever think about the fact that maybe you come up on the scene of something like that and you could be the person that shows up and really find someone who's dying? You've got a chance to tell them how to get to heaven, and you get there and say, well, I wish I'd have paid attention. And that'd be a shame. Be a shame not to be able to do that, all right? Be a shame. Hey, it's bad when you're not able to give testimony to your own faith. I mentioned, it's been a while, but many times I run into people knocking doors, and I run into people that will tell me that they're Buddhist. And numerous times I've asked them, well, what is y'all's belief? What do you believe? And with one exception, they've all said to me, well, you need to go talk to the monks. And I say this, you ought to know what you believe. You ought to know what you believe. You ought to receive that instruction, okay? You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure I understand it all thoroughly. That's why the lifelong part, you keep pursuing it. You keep coming at it. You ought to know what it is that you believe and why you believe those things. Because the opportunity may arise for you to come and tell somebody, and they may ask you, well, I want to tell you, it's a bad thing when you say, well, you have to talk to my preacher. Well, I don't know what you believe. I know what I preach. I know what I believe. But I found out a lot of times what I preach and what I believe and what the Bible said is not necessarily what the people believe sitting in the pew. All right? Now, oftentimes what they believe is not scriptural. I don't know if we'll say it. We went up to the new planetarium deal that's over here on Denton Highway. And I went and saw that, and I was invited by one of the guys, I guess, that heads it up. And so I went and checked it out, and I thought it might take kids from school or something like that. And by getting there were parts of it that are just really unscriptural. They're just not scriptural. Some of it, I told my wife, I said, you know, some of this stuff kind of reeks of Eastern mysticism, not the Word of God. Well, that kind of thing concerns me, all right? As a matter of fact, Monday night at our parent orientation, I had a parent come and ask me if I'd been. I said, yes. And they said, well, what do you think? She said, I was thinking about taking my kids, but I didn't think I was going to take them if I was going to take the school kids. I said, well, if you won't take them, you do it because we're not going to, all right? And she was honest enough, she asked why, and I told her, and I said, there's just things there I've got a problem with, and I don't want to do it. And so, but you learn those things because you know what you believe. You know what you believe. Just get instruction. Get instruction. Go after it, all right? Go after it. Take your Bible, Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 12, not only, you know, not only pay attention to instruction and not only get instruction, but verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge." Boy, we ought to love instruction. We it ought to love it. Psalm 119. If you look for Proverbs 119, you'll have a hard time finding it. Psalms 119. Here's the way the psalmist puts it. Psalm 119, down in verse 97. "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." I love instruction. Love the law of God. That you can meditate in it. I don't know about you, but I love the Word of God. I love to hear it taught. I love to hear it preached. I love to read it. I love to learn from it. And it doesn't matter what, you know. I just love it when it's the Word of God. I like to hear a guy preach. You can't preach it too hard for me. I mean, you know, and you say, well, you never do anything wrong. Holy cow, you don't run with me, all right? Man, every one of us are guilty of sin, all right? And I've had preachers just skin me, all right? But I needed it. Didn't make me mad. I thought, boy, I needed that. I needed to hear it. And just instruction. I had a lady one time really chew me out, but she did it in a very nice way. And I needed it. I needed it. What she said was right. And I needed to hear it, okay? Needed to hear it. Look, don't despise instruction. Learn to love it. It's for your benefit, okay? It's for your benefit. It's to help you. When you're in church, love the teaching of the Word of God. Love the teaching of the Word of God. You say, well, I've heard it before. There's a lot of things I've heard before, but I thought, sure, I'm glad that's still true. Just so happy that hasn't changed. It's still right there. It's still good. And every now and then I think, one needed to be reminded of that. Kind of let it slip. I just needed that reminder. And every now and then somebody will give something. When I say new, I don't mean it's there, but I just haven't seen it in the Word of God. And what a blessing that is. We ought to love that book, all right? Take advantage of the times when instruction is available. Don't miss an opportunity to get it. Don't miss that. You know, I've told people many, many times, you say, well, I'm just going to skip this one church service. By the way, it just came to my mind. Pray for Brother Leeper. He had car trouble. That's why he's not here tonight. And I was thinking about that. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to miss that one. But boy, that's just what we needed. That's just what you need, you know. Needed to hear that. Just love instruction. Go after it. And pay attention to it. Don't let it just slip by you. God puts you in a position where you get it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Get what you need, all right? And just love to hear it and encourage the one that'll give it to you. Lastly, Proverbs 23, verse 12. Would you look there with me? Proverbs 23, verse 12. The Bible says this: "Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge." I want you to notice that word, apply. Apply. You know, it's not enough to just love instruction and to get instruction and to seek instruction. You need to use it. It needs to be put to use. You have to put it to use. You have to put it in practice. I remember going to this years ago, going to a computer class. And I forget now how it was offered, but I went, and it was dealing with Microsoft Word. And we're talking 20 years ago plus, all right? And You know, everything I had used in the computer field had been DOS-based. Now, for some of y'all, I just said a foreign word, okay? Because you've grown up since then. But, I mean, it was just totally different from anything I'd ever seen. And I can remember sitting in there going, huh? And the instructor would say, do this. I'm going, where's that? Click on this. I can't find it, all right? And so, I was just lost, you know, some of that way. But I found out that what I heard and that instruction I got, I had to come and put it to use to retain it. To retain it, if I didn't put it to use, I'd forget it, all right? Didn't know how. Hey, knowledge and instruction are not to be gained just for the sake of saying, I did it. To be honest with you, I feel this way. The reason you go to high school, get that diploma, is not so you can stick it on the wall and say, got it. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody that's got a diploma from high school on their wall. I've had numerous people call me and say, hey, have you got a copy of my diploma? I said, what'd you do? Oh, I lost it. I lost my diploma. Well, it was real important, you know. Now, some people get a college degree and they'll put it on the wall. And some people, I go into my doctor's office and he's got them sprayed everywhere, all right? And then he went to college and he's got a degree and all that kind of stuff. But I want to tell you this, if that's the only reason you get that piece of paper, you wasted your time, all right? And if you go after knowledge, if you come in church and you sit in church, by the way, I'll say this to you, one of the ways to help you remember what you hear in Sunday school and in church is take notes. Helps you to remember it. Helps you to remember it. You come and you listen. But if the only reason you do is so you can win Bible Jeopardy, that's not a good reason, okay? That's not a good reason. The child of God grows and blossoms as a child of God when he gets instruction and then puts it in practice in his life. It's when we learn those things and put them into practice in our life. We learn that. Years ago, I read an article in a sportsman magazine. Not sports, but sportsman. Like, I don't know if it was sports afield or something. But and I read this article, and it said if you'll learn to fly fish, you can catch more fish fly fishing than you can any other way. Well, I like fish, and I don't catch a lot of fish usually. And so I thought, well, I'll see if that works. So I bought me a fly rod. But I didn't know how to cast a fly rod. So I got some instruction. I got a video. I watched that video. And that video said a lot of it's in the snap of your wrist, all right? When you got to snap that wrist. And so I got that thing, and I learned to cast, and I remember thinking that I'm casting, there's going to be a hook on the end of that line one day. And in casting a fly with a fly rod, you don't cast the hook or the bait. You actually cast the line. And so I learned to cast. I don't tell you, that instruction's done me good because it gave me that illustration for this message. Because I've never had a fly rod on the water with a bait on the end and cast it. The only place to ever cast a fly rod's in my yard. All right? But I found out, you know what? You don't practice, you lose skill. You don't put what you learn into use, it won't do you any good and you'll forget it. Hey, it does no good to know what to do unless you do it. It does no good to know how to do unless you do it. You with me? I mean, what do you think you learned about all the things you learned? So you go in somebody's house and say, now if you do what I said, you could have a cleaner house. Well, I've been in your house and it don't look all that clean. Well, I don't do what I know. Hey, none of those things. In fact, we learn things. Why? So we can use them, all right? So we can use them. Hey, some of our instruction, and some especially in the realm of the spiritual and the realm of church, you learn how to walk with God so you can walk with Him. You'll have a walk with God. And I say that, and I know in the on the Sunday morning crowd, there's going to be people there that are going to say, I don't even know what you're talking about. They've never had a walk with God. They could have been saved for years. You said, what happened? Well, either they didn't receive the instruction, they didn't get it, they didn't go after it, they didn't love it, and they dead sure didn't put it into use. You have to put it into use. You learn how to serve the Lord so you can serve Him. So you serve Him. All right? Just do that. You learn to have a good testimony. Well, have it and maintain it. Not just for the theory of it, but so you'll have a good testimony. That others would see that and they would know a little bit about your spiritual condition. Hey, can I make it just real basic? You learn how to get saved, and you get saved. You get saved. I walked the aisle years ago, and somebody talked to me about salvation, and I didn't say, thank you, I'll go back to my seat now. No, I wanted to know how to get saved so I could get saved. So I could get saved. Hey, you learn how to witness. You learn how to be a soul winner so you can do it. So you can do it. Put it into practice. That's the reason for it, right? That's the reason. I don't want you to be like me when it comes to fly rod. Still got the fly rod. I can still tell you where it's at, but it never has had a fly on the end of it and been in the water, okay? You say, will it ever? I don't know. Don't know if it ever has. But it gave me a good illustration for my sermon, all right? Hey, look, that's done me no good. How pitiful it would have been if I'd learned how to get saved but didn't get saved. How bad it is as a Christian to learn to have a walk with God but not to have that walk with God. What a sad thing. Just want to ask you in conclusion tonight, are you wise about instruction or are you weak in that area of instruction? Are you kind of one that it's hard to get you to listen? All right? Can I say this? It's up to you. It's your choice. You can learn. You can learn. You say, I'm a slow learner. Okay, learn slow. But learn. But learn. Just work at it, you know? Put some effort into it. There's so much to know. Don't be content to know so little. Don't be content to say, mediocre is good enough for me. I hope you don't approach life and say, my driving goal in life is to be mediocre. Mediocre. When I was taking flight training, learning to fly an airplane, to get a pilot's license, my desire was not, I'd like to be a mediocre pilot. You know, if I land and before we finally stick on the ground, it's okay. Now, if you knew I felt that way, you'd never get in an airplane with me, right? I was kind of surprised at the number of people that would willingly get in the airplane with me just because I told them I was taking flying lessons and I had a pilot's license. But people would do it. Good thing we never killed any of them, all right? But, hey, we learn those things. We don't want to be mediocre. At your job, do you want to be, I'd like to be mediocre. I just want to be good enough just to get by. Just to get by. First job I had out of high school was working at W.W. Granger. My brother worked there, and he was higher up the totem pole. I was a bottom man on the totem pole. And me and another fellow that were just a little bit higher than I, we were the guys that unloaded the trucks. But, you know, even us, we would set out to say, we're going to see how fast we can unload this truck. We're just going to see how fast. Now, we never set out to think, oh, we're in no hurry. No, it was always, let's see how fast we can do it. And I remember one time, the guy was with me, he got a marker after we unloaded it, and he wrote on the side of the truck, on the inside of the truck, we unloaded this truck, not much time. Beat that! I don't know if anybody ever read that or not, okay? But we wanted to be better than average. We didn't want to be mediocre. Man, how sad God's people are satisfied for mediocrity in their Christian life. No, let's be wise about instruction. Let's get it. Let's hold fast to it, all right? Let's hold fast to it. Let's love it. And then let's put it in use. Heavenly Father, would you help us? Guide and direct us in this life. Lord, here we are.